is our God, the one who has revealed himself to us so that we may know and understand and obey. And Father, as we talk about things today, we pray that by your Spirit, you would illuminate your word to our hearts and to our minds, that we may rejoice in what you have for us, in what you say to us, that we may rejoice in obeying, that we may revel in the gift of masculinity and femininity that you have called us to. Lord, we pray your blessing upon us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's class is aimed more specifically for the youth, although it is for all adults, but we're going to aim it a bit more specifically for the youth. When we went through the curriculum, there was no class there for young people, and our young people are mostly in the Sunday school classes downstairs and not up here, and we thought, man, we should do one here as well, because if they're not adults today, they will be tomorrow. And we want to be teaching and training, and we want the parents, other adults, to hear all this teaching that we have. So young people, teenagers, they're a strange group to talk to. That's true, I got an amen already. Boy, that took no time. They are fiercely independent, and yet they move in packs. They look for heroes of justice and equality, environment, politics, and yet they do their own thing. They just want to be themselves. But they usually do that by looking exactly like all the other teenagers. Said one teenager when his mom refused to buy him the latest fad, whatever it was, "But mom, I just want to be different like everyone else." Teenagers want to change the world. And they will. But try to get a teenage boy to change his underwear and you're in for a fight. I'm sorry, guys, that was a cheap shot. You totally didn't deserve that. All good, respect. It was a cheap shot when I wrote it, I knew that. They move between one moment brimming with inspiring idealism, limitless energy, and the next moment they're doing that full body floppy walk when it's time to clean their room. Right? Melody knows exactly what I'm talking about. And they are amazing people. Totally inspiring, totally aggravating. And I love them, usually. For the past number of months, we have been looking at biblical manhood and womanhood and various applications of that. What masculinity and femininity ought to look like in our lives, in the home, in the church, and out in the world. And we've looked at perversions of masculinity and femininity as seen in transgenderism and homosexuality. And all this teaching has been anchored in the Word of God as we have examined the Scriptures to see what God has made us for and what He has called us to. Today we will be taking some of those principles and applying them to young people. And what follows here is specifically for believers. The fact is, you cannot be a true man or woman as God has called you to be without faith. It is part of our makeup and what God has made us for and called us to. So teenagers are in that stage of life where they're coming out of childhood and starting to enter into adulthood. They're not kids anymore, but they're not quite adults either. They're still under the authority of their parents, but are also starting to make some of their own decisions and are starting to look to their own futures outside of their parents' home. And here we see a problem already starting. We have a culture that tries to keep young people young, that wants to keep them young long after they're old, to keep them from maturing. It wants to keep them children, and you need to know this, young people. The world is aimed squarely at keeping you from growing up. It wants you to keep your eyes fixed on your own youth, on your immediate surroundings, on your screens, and generally off of any authority in your life, because the world knows that if you do get your eyes off of those things and onto taking on the challenge of adulthood, being a man or woman of God instead of a young person, The world knows that when you do get there, you are going to change the world. The battle line for your life is clear. Either you will change the world, or the world is going to change you. There's a battle. If they can keep you young, as a child, immature, if they can dictate your life, tell you what's cool and what isn't cool, keep you distracted, if they can accomplish that, then, well, quite frankly, they can take all of your money. They can keep you powerless and mindless and voiceless and soulless, and you end up being another puppet. And that should not be your future. The world has mastered this art of keeping young people young and immature, and they've done this with one very simple invention. I've already mentioned it. One little word, and that word is cool. The world wants you to be cool, or at least it wants you to want to be cool. It doesn't actually want you to be cool. It wants you to want it, but never actually attain it. That's why they keep changing what the rules are, what it takes to be cool. You'll change every couple of years. First you dress like this, then you dress like that, then you act like this, and you act like that, and you watch this show, then you watch that one. It keeps changing. They don't want you to attain coolness, but they want you to want to, and you try. So they design clothes that are cool, hairstyles that are cool, social views even that are cool. And they cast all the important things in life as uncool. Authority. God. Parents. Very uncool. Purity. Uncool. Work, adulthood, masculinity, and femininity, decidedly uncool in our day and age. Try to say men are like this and women are like that. Very uncool. These things are uncool. And the sad thing is it works. I used to work with a guy, this is many years ago, a young guy, who was really into the baggy pants look, right? So he had these huge baggy pants that were hanging down, his underwear were up and right, and he thought it was awesome. And I had mentioned to him an article that I had read about where this fashion style came from. And it had come from a group of executives of some clothing company, the world, if you will, and they were sitting around in all their suits, the board table, and they're saying, okay, kids spend money, we want their money. How do we get it? Well, kids want to be cool. Kids want to rebel against their parents. They want to do things differently, all these types of things. What can we do? And someone came up with this idea and said, these baggy pants are going to drive the parents crazy. It's going to make the kids stand out. If we can spin this as cool, they will do it. They will give us their money, and we'll make even more than we have. And this is the executives in their suit and ties, right? It was a con job right from the get-go and remains so. And I mentioned this to my friend. I said, do you realize that you've been taken for a sucker? They got your money. They got everything from you that they wanted. And he thought about that for a second. And he said, best fashion style ever. And off he went. He was perfectly content to be completely snookered so long as he was cool. And in the eyes of his friends, he was very cool. And so I kind of have come to dislike the term cool. Cool is shame in disguise. Think about that. Cool is fear in disguise. Cool is boredom on display. Everything and everyone is boring, so I'm not going to engage in anything because I am cool. Cool shows up, but it doesn't participate. Or it participates, but it doesn't try. It makes a point of not trying or not caring. Cool has no enthusiasm for life. Cool is the death of courage. Androgyny is cool. So I still use the word cool, it's fine. But beware of it. That concept, it has destroyed whole generations of young people. Remember this, being cool, that's not cool. So, the trajectory is to keep young people immature, to keep you separate from the adults, to keep you in your separate pack, keep you from growing up, keep you on the outside, where the responsibility and expectations remain low. One of the worst things a parent can say is, well, they're teenagers, what are you going to do? This tells the young person that so long as they're young, They're free from consequences, and they can really do what they want because, they're a teenager. What are we going to do? And so they end up, often, staying in their groups, trying to remain young and cool. And this then leads to the difficulty of connecting to the church when the teen years have passed, moving out of the teen years into adulthood. You see this all the time. The statistics show that most people who end up leaving the church do so after high school because they know how to work in a group, but they have not learned how to connect with the adults, and they get lost. Youth group years have ended, and they're no longer with that group so clearly, but they've never really connected with the adults, and there you have an exodus. Couple that with college and university, and you lose a lot of people. How do you go from young person cool to adult responsibility uncool in one birthday, turning 18, or one graduation? It doesn't happen. And so we see that immaturity often stays long into people's 20s, even into their 30s. And I think that we should not be encouraging young people to be young people. We shouldn't be encouraging young people to become adults. You should hear the call, come up higher. Come up higher. That's where you're headed. Come up higher. You are welcome here. You belong here. Come. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I became a man, I gave up childish ways." And here we see only two categories, child and adult. We have introduced a strange third category, teenager. That word wasn't used until somewhere in the 1920s. There wasn't a category. You were a child, and then you were an adult. Teenager is a very recent invention. And teenager has come to be a time where childishness is very much accepted, can easily be prolonged if we're not proactive in training, if young people aren't eager to grow up. And we should be striving for more than that. The call should go out, come up higher. And young people need to hear that call and pursue it. Come up higher. So today we're going to talk about three places where coming up higher can be practiced in the realm of manhood and womanhood for young people. The first one, is personal discipline. Mankind has been given a mission. Dominion and fruitfulness is the mission that's been given to mankind. God has told us to exercise dominion over the earth, to be fruitful, to multiply. Now, when we're kids, we play at this. We play exactly at this. And that's good. We ought to. Kids should play at this. And we see, generally speaking, boys focusing on the dominion part, girls focusing on the fruitfulness part. Not always, but those are trends that you see. You see boys play fighting, working with trucks in the sandbox, marching around. They build forts, they fight, they plan, they engage the world. It's awesome. And we see girls focus mostly on fruitfulness, and they do that by, they play with their dolls, they practice being a mom, they care for other people, they play house, they have tea parties, playing dress up. In all their beauty and glory, they long to be fruitful and multiply, and that's awesome. It's wonderful. Our mission that God has given us is played out in our childhood. We pursue it from early on. That's good. Now, of course, there are variations of this. Some boys play house, some girls build forts. It's good. That's not wrong. Don't stress over such things so much. We just see general tendencies. That's because God made it to be that way. There is a difference between men and women, boys and girls. We see it played out in certain ways, but we don't put people in a box. So we are called to dominion and fruitfulness. We see that when the kids are young, masculinity and femininity on display, being practiced in play. Now, what happens to young people when they hit those teen years and on? What happens in a world that is trying to keep them young? What happens is they keep playing, and they never actually put into practice. Playtime is extended well past the point of where maturity should be. So I'm going to just give one main example for the guys and one example for the girls. I'm not saying this is all of you. Some of this will fit with some of you, some of it will not. These are stereotypical, but they're stereotypical because they have a basis in reality. So take what belongs to you, apply the principle in other areas if you see it. So as young boys turn into young men, You don't see them exercising dominion in the sandbox so much anymore. They move on. Rather, as they move on into their teen years, you often see them exercising play dominion in video games. It's one way they do it. Video games are played not only by, but predominantly by guys. And that's because in that game that you're playing, you get to exercise dominion over your environment, but without consequences or actual responsibility. There are play battles, there are play fights, there are pretend challenges and projects and pretend points, and of course there is a pretend girl to be won. If you've played some of the games, you've seen it, and you know what I'm talking about. And all of these things, they excite a God-given desire to have dominion over our environment. It's exciting because I'm playing at something God has called me to do. I'm not saying that video games are all bad, but I'm saying playtime gets extended to the point where we no longer want to take actual responsibility. Because if you take actual responsibility, you find out very quickly the world is not a game. There are real responsibilities and consequences. It's way harder, and you don't get extra lives if you screw it up. And it can be a real stumbling block. And it's been aimed squarely at keeping young men from becoming adult men. It's very effective. It's very cool. And it can become a real problem. Again, please hear me. I'm not saying that all video games are wrong. But I'm saying playtime is extended where it ought not to be. Come up higher. Now, how about girls? Here's another stereotypical observation. They play video games too, of course, but not usually to the degree that guys do. They, on the other hand, might spend as much time standing in front of a mirror as a guy does in front of a video screen. I have four daughters. Young girls, with all their potency, with all their beauty and fertility, they have an affinity for fruitfulness and multiplying, and this can easily become, they can easily become enamored by their own glory in one of two ways. Either on one hand, they think that they are not glorious or beautiful enough. And they can fall into a deep depression, self-hatred, self-harm, and so forth, because they are enamored with the beauty part, the glory part, and they think they fall short. Or, on the other hand, they discover that they are beautiful and glorious, and they become powerful in their beauty, and they use it to dominate others. So she may stand there in front of the mirror and cry at how awful she looks, or she will perfect her look in the mirror and use her feminine charms to manipulate her own environment, to seduce and flirt, turn things into her favor, which is a perversion of fruitfulness. Instead of using her beauty to create life, she uses her beauty to destroy either herself or others or both. And there are few things on earth more powerful than a pretty girl. Millions of people have died over pretty girls. They are powerful, and this can be a trap for young women. Obsessing over their looks, either to their deep and profound discouragement, or to the abuse of their beauty and manipulating others around them. I have four daughters. Try to find modest clothing for teenage girls these days. Try finding ads that aren't aimed at a teen girl's looks or value in her looks, at her sexual power. And all this is aimed squarely at keeping young women from becoming adult women. And the call needs to come out, come up higher. Now, I know that I'm talking stereotypes here with what I'm saying, and that's okay. I'm not going to touch on the transgenderization of our youth, which is the current revolution, which is the current cool. That could be a separate class because we are in full-on war against that. And people feel the draw of the coolness of androgyny. But I'm going to stick with stereotypes here because there's truth in them and clarity in them. So we're talking personal discipline. What do you do as a young person in areas of personal discipline? Guys and girls both. We strive to stop thinking like a child, like Paul said, and start thinking like an adult. Have your eyes open to see where the world will try to manipulate you, to keep you immature, and pursue what God has called you to be men and women. You are called to so much more than what the world says you should be called to. Personal discipline means growing up. Here's another little cheap shot. I had a cheap shot to you guys earlier. This is a little bit of a cheap shot, but there's some truth in it too, so I'll take it. I have the microphone. Okay, a little unfair. A little unfair. I'll reel it in afterwards. I'm the custodian, which means I clean the youth room every week. What? Which means I know exactly what you have eaten. I see it all over the floor. I know where you've eaten it. I know where you sat. I know if you were in the gym. I know when you were in the boiler room. I know when you spread out and had your snacks. I know when you had a gargon. I find your airplanes that were thrown off the balcony. I know when you were jumping off the balcony. The custodian knows an amazing amount of things about people. And being a pastor, it's amazing because, okay, this is another aside. I clean the sanctuary as well. Right? And so I know what's in the sanctuary after a Sunday. But I have the added benefit of also preaching on occasion, so I know where everybody sits. And I know whose gum wrappers I find in certain places. It's the job, it's fine. So it's a bit of a cheap shot. You're allowed to engage in the building. You should have fun, that's good. But I don't know that I should know exactly what you had, where you had it, how often you've had it, which rooms you've been in, and which structures you've jumped off of. Come up higher. We are called to more. The internet is a teenage wasteland. That's going to keep you forever immature. We want to start thinking about what God has called us to do, this mission, and begin to take some steps to do it. And for teenagers, young people, we want to encourage, play a little less, engage a little more, come up higher. Adults still need to play too, it's good. I don't want to come across as that we'll have to be serious and all the fun is over. It's not the case. But we want to take some real risks, guys. Trying on some masculinity and responsibility in the real world. Take some real risks. Girls, you start stepping into making the world beautiful and glorious. And you take your eyes off of yourself. And you begin to help those around you to be fruitful in the lives of other people. Masculinity and femininity our strength and beauty on display in godly ways. That's a beautiful line. Strength and beauty on display in godly ways. And you start to step into faith, step into the word and prayer, you step into the church, you step into biblical manhood and womanhood. And how do you do that? That brings us to the second one. This one's even more exciting than personal discipline. Obey your parents. Boy, how's that for a letdown? You hear the message, young people, you need to come up higher. You need to step into adulthood. You need to change the world. You're the future. Rise to greatness. And you're like, yes, how do we do that? Obey your parents. Oh, man. Okay. It's where we start. The first command given to a person is to honor their father and mother. It's the first step into maturity. And where do we see young people struggling in obeying mom and dad? I wasn't very good at it. You see, from that full body floppy walk to rolling the eyes when mom asks you to set the table, all the way to outright rebellion and resistance to parents. Permanent childishness and immaturity are the reward of those who treat their parents in this way. In the Old Testament, rebellious kids were killed outright. We think spanking is rough. Wow, man. You read some of those laws. You had a son who just wouldn't listen, wouldn't listen, wouldn't listen. The parents would take him to the leaders and say, I got this rebellious son. He will not listen. All right, kill him. And they would stone that child. I'm not going to say anymore. In the regional Hebrew, yeah. Oh, man. Your parents are there to help you grow. They have been given a task to bring you into independence, to strength, and to maturity. And they love you more than you know. It is an unspeakable honor to have parents watching over you and telling you to clean your room. Don't let anyone tell you that your parents are uncool. Of course they're uncool. They're supposed to be uncool. They are your escape from the lies that you have been told to by the world. They are a shelter and a refuge. The uncoolness of your parents is a lifeline to happiness and success in your life. That's true. There is nothing more cool than uncool parents. Be proud of them. Be proud to obey them. Here's a few passages from Proverbs about respect and obedience to parents. This is something from Proverbs 6. My son, keep your father's commandment. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. From Proverbs 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for they will add length to your days, years, and peace to your life. Never let loving devotion or faithfulness leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother, for they are a garland of grace on your head and a pendant around your neck. And again from Proverbs 3, my son, do not lose sight of this. Preserve sound judgment and discernment. They will be a life to your soul and adornment for your neck. You hear what's being said here? Your parents' instruction should be like swag that hangs around your neck. Swag. Is it swag or schwag? Is it more of a schwag? Am I totally wrong? Is there an umlaut? Schwag? I don't know. I'm not cool. Should be like swag around your neck. You should wear it proudly, like cool people wear those big gold chains, right? And those pendants. And they strut around like roosters in a hen house. Cool is a funny thing. Obedience to your parents should be your honor and a source of power to your choices in life. They are there to instruct you, to guide you, to give you strength and joy. Now, how different does that teaching sound to your ears? How weird is that? Be proud to obey your parents. Rejoice in saying no to things your friends would say no to. Be proud of that. You're going to get laughed right out of the cool circle. Yes, you will, and thank God for that. That's where you should be headed. Now, young people, your parents aren't perfect. I know that. You know that. Your parents know that. That's not what's being debated. But they have years of experience and wisdom to share. They would give their very life for you. And they do it every day. The home that you live in, the clothes that you wear, the food that you eat, and all the rest, where does it come from? It comes from your mom and dad dying to themselves every day and spending their lives for you because they love you. They are honored to do it, and they are for you. You need to hear that. And in turn, you have a responsibility toward them. Now, no, you didn't ask to be born. Sometimes you hear that. Well, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to be born in this family. I didn't ask for any of this. No, you didn't. You didn't. God did. He asked you to be born. He made you, and he put you in your family. God did that. You're right that you didn't. If you did, maybe you'd have authority to change your mind and say, I don't want to be part of this family anymore, but you don't. Because God put you there. He made you and he put you there. And God calls you to honor them, to respect them, and obey them. They're there to help you, and they're going to guard you from making an awful lot of mistakes. Be thankful that you have them. The first step to maturity, to becoming true men and women of God, is to honor your parents. Honoring your parents is going to take you farther than any experience, adventure, college, group of friends, or even youth group can. Those things supplement. They are not the core. Remember, your parents aren't cool. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord for that. All right, number three. Start taking public responsibility seriously. Young people, you are men and women, and God intends for that to mean something. Speaking as one of the uncool myself, I would say it this way. In public, boys need to pull up their pants and girls need to pull up their tops. We got good kids here. I'm not throwing you guys all under the bus. Generally speaking, I want to challenge you to come up higher, to pursue adulthood and maturity. Don't let the world decide for you how you're going to live your life, how you're going to dress or act, what you're going to watch or think. Because here's some news for you. The world sucks. I have zero respect for what the world thinks. I don't care. I care what God thinks. And God calls all of us to come up higher. For example, here I'll break it up again. A little section for the guys, a little for the girls. Young men, here is public masculinity 101. Here's a basic thing to remember. Masculinity is a mastery of strength and, here's a surprise, proper decorum. Public masculinity 101 is a mastery of strength and proper decorum. Mastery of strength is control over your own body, using your God-given strength to help those around you. You do the work. You take the heaviest load on your own shoulders. If anyone is going to suffer, let it be you. Master your own environment and exercise dominion. Not domineering, but faithful dominion. You respect yourself. You respect others. There is a time for men to jump off balconies. And when the time is right, it's awesome. You guys are going to engage in battles in your life. You will have your share. It is coming. And you will get hurt. It's going to be amazing. Men suffering for the will of God is awesome. But it may not be here, this particular balcony. You master yourself and your strength. We strive to stop playing games and start playing for keeps. That's where you're headed. Not that games are wrong. I want to say that again. Play games. It's good. It's good. It's good. But you're heading into playing for keeps. And man, you are to pursue humility, not pride, because the fact is you are strong. Young men are strong. And that strength is good, but it's going to tempt you to pride. Stay humble. Truth be told, the ladies around you, they should see you flex a little bit. They should. They should see it. They should feel your strength. Not in arrogance, but rather in sacrifice to the mission. Let them see you try. Let them see you care about something. Let them see you weep for something that you care about. Work for it. Conquer. You show love and respect for the ladies that are in your presence. Men, all of us, we are to master our strength and not be ashamed of it. It is your glory. Use it not to be a clown or a buffoon or a bully for that matter, but to help others, to stand in the gap for those who need you. As you go through life, there will be many who need your strength. As we said in an earlier class, men don't carry heavy things because they have broad shoulders. They have been given broad shoulders in order that they might carry heavy things. You are called to it. Stand in the gap for those who need your strength. So young men, come up higher. And then proper decorum. We're talking public masculinity 101. Proper decorum. Show respect to the ladies. Show respect to the room. We ought to bring dignity into whatever situation we find ourselves. Courtesy. As Paul said to Timothy, let no one despise you for your youth. I'm not concerned that you're young. That's fine. You are welcome here and you are called. Come. You belong here. And then he says, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Public masculinity, setting an example of those things. As men, we are often tempted into pride and buffoonery and stupidness. I am, all the time, every day. And we need to learn proper decorum. Men should bring a gravitas into the room. Give it honor. People should notice when you walk into the room. No more slouching and eye rolling, coarse joking. Man, you should raise the stature of everyone around you by mastering proper decorum. People around you, people should feel safe by you, and they should feel safe from you. Meaning, people around you know that you're going to protect them from others and that you will protect them from yourself. Because you're stronger. Young men are strong. People should feel safe by you and they should feel safe from you. Mastery of strength, proper decorum. Young men, pursue that. Old men, pursue that. So young women, here is public femininity 101. Mastery of beauty and proper decorum. Femininity is mastery of beauty and proper decorum. Mastery of beauty is an art form that the world does not and cannot understand. A woman who has mastered her own beauty knows how to excel in graciousness, in courtesy, in dignity, in discretion. She understands her beauty, the power of it. She understands modesty, has a gentle and quiet spirit. Ladies, you are called to master your beauty, to make things around you beautiful, to let your fruitfulness overflow into whatever environment you find yourself in. Be glorious, but do not be vain. Be inspiring, because you are, you have no idea. Inspiring her. Be inspiring, but do not be manipulative. A lady should not be ashamed of her beauty. It is her glory. It has been given to her to enjoy and to spread glory around her. But it is so easily misused. It is so easily abused. Used for manipulation, for power, for dominance, getting one's own way. It is powerful, which is why modesty is so important. But modesty is not frumpiness. It's not hiding. It's not shameful. Modesty is the mastery of beauty. Knowing how much to reveal, and I mean much more than your clothing, but clothing is a part of it. Knowing how much to reveal and how much to conceal of your glory. You must not go to the world for advice on this one. It will destroy you and those around you. Be beautiful and do not be ashamed of it, but do not use it for harm. Just as women should feel safe in a man's presence, so a man should feel safe in yours. And I'm being deadly serious. It is a different power that you have. But it is no less dangerous. It is no less powerful. Men should feel safe from you. God has put glory and beauty in you. You need to learn to master it. So women should bring beauty and honor with them when they enter a room. Her glory is a blessing. It fills the room with glory. She ought to be respected most highly. She ought not to be provocative in her looks, which is just degrading herself. Rather, she must excel in dignity and proper decorum. So women, you are called, you should call out rather for a raising of the stature of everyone in the room when you walk into it. Do not be ashamed of your femininity. It is meant to be a blessing to the world. Respect yourself. Respect others. Mastery of beauty and proper decorum. Young women, pursue that. So we have looked very briefly at these three things: personal discipline, obedience to parents, and public responsibility. Three ways in which you can begin right now, right today. You can begin to exercise biblical manhood and womanhood as young people. And I think our youth are amazing. We have some wonderful people here. And I say some things that are negative. I hope you don't take it to heart, that which is not yours. But that which is, I hope you do. You should feel challenged. The call to come up higher isn't easy. We should all be hearing that as we go through this whole class. Men and women, come up higher. Come into what God has made us for and called us to. You're going to have challenges in your life. Young people, as you grow up into adulthood, man, you are surrounded since the advent of the internet and all that technology. You are surrounded, inundated. You're in a pressure cooker of lies and deceit and manipulation, of cool, teaching disdain for things that God calls honorable, that calls out for outright rebellion and disobedience. Man, you hear that all day, every day, I know. You got weight on your shoulders, young people. That is heavy. But you have all you need to succeed. You have what you need to change the world and not let the world change you. It is here in the Word of God that you're going to find it. It's where the answers are. That's where the light shines. That will tell you what's right and what's wrong as you pursue those things. That will be an anchor for you in the storm, when the lies start to seem true and you're tempted. That's where you find your purpose, your strength, your beauty. It's your guide. Faith in God and in the gospel of His Son, that's the way forward. The Word is a sure anchor to the soul and a guide to your path. We need to let the Word sink deep into our hearts in order to not let the world deceive. So young people, hear that call. Come up higher. Here's a wonderful prayer from Psalm 119. Teach me, Lord, the meaning of your laws, that I will obey them at all times. Explain your law to me, and I will obey it. I will keep it with all my heart. Keep me obedient to your commandments, because in them I find happiness. And that's something. As we strive for happiness, the Bible says you can find it here. We think it's all over the place. We don't think obedience. Keep me obedient to your commandments, because in them I find happiness. Give me the desire to obey your laws rather than to get rich. There's another worldly call. Get rich, man. Get some stuff. Keep me from paying attention to what is worthless. I'll let that one just sit there. Be good to me as you have promised. Keep your promise to me, your servant. The promise you make to those who obey you. Save me from the insults I fear. Now, this is more than just young people, but I think young people are susceptible to this. I know I was and am. Save me from the insults I fear. I don't like being insulted. I don't like being despised. I don't like being laughed at. I don't like being different than everyone else. I don't like it when people make fun of me. I don't like it when friends turn their back on me. I don't like it when I don't fit in. And hear the cry as it comes out, save me from the insults I fear. How wonderful are your judgments. I want to obey your commands. Give me new life, for you are righteous. That's the road. New life in Christ. There you will find it. There you will find it. We have a call and an inbuilt desire for dominion and fruitfulness. We feel that. We long for it. We play at it. We practice it. Man, we screw it up. And we keep going. God has called us to exercise that in various roles, masculinity and femininity. And that is strength and beauty on display in godly ways. Those youthful years are amazing. May God be your guide and then show us who you are. You will change the world, men and women, for the glory of God. We will wrap it up there. For the next 2 weeks at least, we will have the panel where all the elders will be up here. We've received a bunch of questions over the past number of months. We want to do our best to answer them, talk about them, bat around. There's some good questions coming. It's going to be fun. If you have more from this class, then ask one of us, send an email or something. So for the next two Sundays at least, if we need more, we can take more, but we want to do at least two, and we'll be talking about all this stuff in a little more conversational style. It has been one of the comments. I just want to make that, maybe I should say that. It's been one of the comments that we have heard, I think, from a number of people. It's tough to sit here for an hour and listen to somebody just go when there's so much more where you want to interject and ask for clarification, or you don't agree, or you wonder what in the world that means over here, and that can be tough. And not sure how to improve on all of that, but we want to open up that panel for a little more conversation. And we don't want to rush it. We'll take two at least, but if we need more, then we want to be very open to take more, to be able to discuss a little more. And as always, come and talk personally. You don't have to wait until we're all together in this room. If you have personal questions, you can come, and we'd love to talk to you. That's awesome. So men and women, come up higher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for this call on our lives. We see it, we feel it, we long for it. Lord, we confess that so often we fall short. Lord, we don't want to live in personal discipline. Obedience to parents is tough. Honoring mom and dad is tough, even when we're old. Public responsibility is hard. Lord, it's hard to stand alone sometimes. It's hard to see clearly. Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would strengthen your people. Lord, I pray for the young people that have come here today, Lord, that you would strengthen them. You would strengthen their heart. You would give them faith, open up their eyes, give them a desire to come up higher with joy. Lord, with joy and with passion. Free them, Lord, from the fears of insults, the desires to be cool, the desire to be rich, whatever. Set them free from those things and inflame their hearts with love and passion for you and for your word, that they are unashamed. They step up and come up higher with boldness and with courage, Lord, that we may see you building this next generation that will stand in the gap and that will proclaim your word. Father, we pray your blessing upon this church, Lord, as we have wrestled with some of these issues. Father, we pray that you continue to unite us, bring us under the authority of your word, that we rejoice in obedience as we come to understand. Father, raise up your people here that we would be a light in a dark place, that we would be bold and full of joy as we hold forth that light, that gospel. Father, we pray now for the service that you would gather your people, that you would be worshipped in spirit and in truth, and that we would leave here changed, having seen you and known you better. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.